Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 486. Science Faction, your weekly corona update. The numbers are as follows for today, September 13th, 2020. Worldwide cases, 29.1 million. Worldwide deaths, 927,000. U.S. cases, 6.7 million. U.S. deaths, 198,000. Closing in on that 200,000 mark. All right, some very interesting COVID articles this week. I know last week was kind of a little bit of a holy shit, what did I just stumble upon type thing that I was sharing with you guys almost in real time. I just wrote that episode and then hopped on the mic and was like, I can't believe this is here. It's been in front of my eyes this whole time and I didn't see it. And I got a lot of good feedback from that episode of people saying, wow, this is really amazing. I hadn't heard this before. I hadn't seen it put this way. This is really important to know. And I'm going to say, I usually like to go, if I go real negative one week, I try and bump it up with some positive stories the next. Unfortunately, I don't necessarily have those positive stories, and I have more of those stories that are ones that, like, are really important for people to know. I think this episode and last episode are ones that if you can share with your friends, do it, not just because it helps me, but because I really do think that there are some misinterpretations of what's going on in this pandemic. One, that, you know, we're all dealing with it the same. Clearly, as we discussed last week, the US is not dealing with it the same. But two, and this will be the first of our science articles this week, I think people have it really wrong in terms of what it means to survive this disease. People see those numbers that I post at the beginning of the show. Maybe I'm part of the problem because I'm telling you these numbers, deaths, infected, right? But those aren't the only two options, right? So even if you don't die and you recover from the infection, you might have lifelong disabilities. You might have permanent injuries. And that's becoming the case with more and more people who are recovering from COVID. Some articles came out this week about COVID's effect on the heart that fucking terrify me. So let's jump into these scary ass articles. So the first one is about college athletes. Now, we've talked about this type of study before, looking at college athletes' hearts to determine whether or not they've shown damage. We actually talked about one, a similar study. But the reason this is important for people to hear is because if you think that just because somebody doesn't die, they're okay, you're wrong. And if you think you have to be sick ahead of time or unhealthy ahead of time to be affected by this disease, goddamn, you are wrong. And the reason this is such a great example is this looked at college athletes, NCAA athletes, probably some of the fittest, most genetically gifted humans on the face of the earth. And let's see what they found. They looked at about 25 NCAA athletes who had caught COVID and recovered. Many of these, because they are young and healthy, had essentially almost no symptoms. They had like a cough or a sore throat or something. Very, very low symptoms. Well, as we've been talking about, we have found a lot of heart damage in certain COVID patients. So they wanted to study the hearts of these players, specifically because some of the heart damage we've seen could actually endanger these players if, even if they survive the disease, if they then have this heart damage and they went out and played, it might actually hurt them. So they wanted to check on it. And because it's the NCAA, they have a lot of money. And so they actually did heart studies on these 25 people. They found that 15% of them, including two of the very mild cases who basically barely even noticed they were sick, showed evidence of swelling of the heart muscle and injury to the cells of the heart, indicating myocarditis, which is an infection of the heart muscle by a virus, which can lead to a lot of negative things, including permanent damage and heart attack and stuff down the line. Really, really interesting. This is similar to a study we talked about before out of Germany just the other week about how they looked at 100 different Germans who had recovered from COVID, some who had not only mild symptoms, some who had no symptoms whatsoever. So only 30% were hospitalized. I think like 30% had mild symptoms, 30% had no symptoms whatsoever. What'd they find? 60% of those people, including ones that had no symptoms whatsoever, showed up as having heart damage when they did MRIs. That's crazy. And now we're seeing that the same is true of college athletes. Now, these are, again, these are young people in the not only the prime of their lives, the prime of almost everybody's life because they're an NCAA athlete. And even they are showing a 15% heart damage. So if you think, hey, I'm okay, I'm healthy, fuck you. You're not healthier than they are. You're not healthier than an 18-year-old track star. I guarantee you you're not. And when you dated it to Germany, and in general, Germans are much healthier than Americans, 60% of everybody had issues. So think about what that means. What does that mean to all these people who are like, oh yeah, I got the disease, but I recovered? Maybe. Maybe your heart's fucked. Maybe you're going to have a heart attack at 45 instead of living on to 80. Now, you might say, well, maybe this is just swelling. It'll probably go down. There probably won't be an issue. I hope you're right. But it leads to the second article we have to talk about, which is, what does COVID do to your heart? This came out this week, and this is really the shocking and terrifying one. First, these researchers wanted to see, because again, all these heart studies and stuff coming out, they wanted to see what the virus actually does to the heart. So they tried a whole bunch of different type of heart tissues in petri dishes, introduced the virus, and saw what happened. Most of the heart tissues did not get infected by the virus, except for a very specific type called cardiomyocytes. Now, these are actually formed by chains of what are called sarcomeres that align themselves to kind of create muscle fibers. So think of smaller cells aligning themselves up almost like a rope to create one large muscle fiber, right? These sarcomeres. Well, what ended up happening is when the virus infected the tissue, they broke up those sarcomeres. So they weren't all in a line anymore. Again, they're not making a rope. They're not one line of cells that are self-aligned and then pulled together as a rope. They found that these ropes are all cut up. The sarcomeres are all cut up, meaning that that muscle tissue is no longer working the way it's supposed to be. In fact, researchers looking at this were A, shocked, and B, said, if this happens in real people, your heart doesn't work anymore, which might explain many of the heart attacks we've seen. So, to go and do extra due diligence, they said, well, look, this is just in the lab. Who knows what happens in the lab versus reality? And they went back and grabbed heart tissue samples from three patients who had died of COVID. All three showed those sarcomeres cut up, chopped up, similar to how they had been in the petri dish, and indicating that there is a very real and very severe damage to the heart of some COVID patients, possibly for the rest of their lives. These people may well end up having, like I said, heart attacks at 45. You know, you don't actually get to live the rest of your life, in which case, this thing killed you. COVID killed you. If you die of a heart attack at 45 from damage that happened, you died from COVID, right? So think about this. All of these people who seem to be flaunting the danger, it's okay, I'm young, I'm healthy. You're not younger or healthier than NCAA athletes. This is hurting people who are younger and healthier than you. And the fact that that damage is not going noticed until now doesn't mean it's not happening. And again, there might be other damage that we're not noticing. We just saw evidence this week come out that it can also infect neurons, meaning there's definitely an issue. If it can find a way to your brain, we can have problems. Now, you might ask, why has nobody discovered this about the heart before? We knew there was heart problems. We've talked about, you know, MRIs, about heart cells and stuff. Well, the reality is, this is an analysis of a very specific heart tissue, which we only knew because we did the tests in the lab first. We only knew to look at this heart tissue. And in general, heart tissue is not examined on a cellular level as, you know, standard autopsy protocol. So it's not like something anyone would have noticed or come across before. It's not like you can look at the heart with your naked eye and see what's wrong with it. This is on a cellular level. These cellular muscle fibers are essentially getting cut up, and so it's not visible to the naked eye. Super interesting, super terrifying, and one more reason. Hey man, we're almost through this. I know I've been saying this, but we are almost through this. We are in September. Hold out. It's not going to be that much longer before we get a vaccine, herd immunity, we can be safe out there. I know a lot of you people listening to this probably won't die if you catch this disease. But I also don't want you to die 40 years early, 10 years from now, just because that disease made its way through. Imagine that. Imagine everybody who may end up dying, hundreds of thousands of people who have already died, the thousands and thousands more who may die in the coming years. And all they had to do was, you know, stay inside a little bit longer, wear a mask a little bit, and they would not have died, because that virus may well be infecting people right now and like a ticking time bomb, just damaging their heart in a way where it is essentially killing them 10 or 20 years from now. So think about that. Stay extra safe. Keep your social distancing. Keep your masks on. And remember that we're going to get through it. The last article I want to cover, very interesting one that came out. It had to do with a genomic analysis of different coronaviruses from the start of the epidemic in US and Europe. And it discovered something really interesting. So these are looking at the genetic differences between different coronaviruses as it mutates and goes through the population. And you can kind of do a Maury thing, like, you are this virus's father. It came from here. Well, we had assumed that as the virus came in here and initially gets into here and it just spreads, and that's how we got our infection rates. Well, it turns out that in both Europe and the United States, that's not true. We knew that a Chinese national flew into Seattle on January 15th carrying the virus and then, you know, was sick, and that became a deal. And we assumed that was the origin of the early Seattle outbreak. However, looking at this data, it shows that it actually wasn't. That particular individual did not spread that virus around and get everybody else infected. They were quarantined early, or they stayed out of the way, or they did good social distancing, who knows, but they did not spread it. What the genomics show is that a separate entrance directly from China happened in early February. When that came in, it became the epidemic that overtook Seattle. So in a way, it's almost a success story of, you know, keeping an epidemic from spreading at least once. And they found the same thing happened in Europe. A German businessman had flown back from China and carried the virus back with him. He infected a bunch of his employees, but they isolated, this is in February, and they basically stopped that from going anywhere. It did not spread out. That was thought to have been the origin point of the Italian outbreak that obviously just demolished Italy and was a big deal. That was thought to be where it came from. The genomics show? No. That Italian outbreak actually came from another direct from China input a few weeks later. The German outbreak was completely contained and did not go on to spread. By the way, the Italian outbreak, which, like I said, came a little bit later from China, then spread huge throughout Italy and became the European outbreak. And by the way, then hopped on a plane across the pond, landed in New York City and became the New York City outbreak, which then became a bunch of the East Coast outbreaks. So that one Chinese trip to Italy ended up being a real bad one. But it is still interesting to see how many of these did not cause a problem. How many of these ended up being the case of us figuring it out and squashing it early. And if we could have just done it two times instead of one, maybe we wouldn't be here right now. So very interesting article. All right, guys, thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed learning all about COVID infections in athletes and what it does to their heart. What we now think COVID does to specific cardiac muscles. And how the coronavirus took a very surprising trip to the US and Europe. Thank you so much for joining me, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 487.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.